you have to test, prove.
Yeah.
And fail. We have to fail. In order to succeed in testing, you're going to have to fail some series of tests to know what your weaknesses are.
This is my proof of concept.
You saying?
This is my proof of concept.
Inner systems.
I love being associated with Nerdcore, because the nerdier they say that I get, I learn more.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeed up and ready, because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 97. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. A little sore. Been moving houses right now, so you know.
Yeah, that's right. I can't wait to see your new place, man. I've seen you. I know you've been pretty busy doing all the unpacking, cleaning, getting ready from the old house, moving to the new. I know that's exhausting, so I feel for you,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, no, I did get a 76-inch TV, so it's going to be that much better to manage the home lab with. I'm going to try to use it as a monitor. We'll see how this works.
Were you one of the? I think I saw you on TV for Black Friday. I thought you were like ripping it out of the hands of some old lady.
I might have gotten in a knife fight with. She was very spry for 80, but
hey, but you got the TV, man. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
So, John, great week here. We have so much content that we captured from VMworld, and this week is no exception. We had a really cool conversation with a gentleman from a company that I know you're very familiar with, Inner Systems.
Yeah, Inner Systems makes a number of things, but what they're really known for is Cache, which is an object database.
Yeah,
which is really cool, and they make the fastest one in the world. So it's scale as well as performance for medical and high frequency trading. It is some really cool stuff. It's not your grandmother's Microsoft, little pity, it's some serious data.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they were at VMworld, Murray Oldfield specifically. We had a chance to chat with Murray. Great guy. And yeah, and so this conversation is all about why they decided to use vSAN for their cache databases. This is something that they've been working on for a while with VMware, with our proof of concept team led by Christian Rauber. And so Christian actually joined us on this conversation, if you remember. Really cool. They've been kicking the tires on vSAN for a while. It was really fun sort of recapping and understanding that experience with both Christian and Murray. And before we even talked about Cache and Inner Systems, we got a little preview of something that's fairly new to VMware, and that is Test Drive. John, you know about Test Drive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's like Christian's baby. That's something that he's been working on for a while. And so it was really exciting. For those of you that are not, you're going to hear it in a minute. I won't repeat myself. But Test Drive is something that's fairly new to VMware, and it's a really great opportunity for folks to test drive their workloads and similar performance on vSAN. So here's Murray and Christian talking about not only Test Drive, but Inner Systems Cache on vSAN. Take a listen.
All right, John, day four of VMworld 2018, and joining us for the very first time on the podcast, which I'm kind of excited about, is one of our coworkers, Mr. Christian Robert. Christian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
Those of you that don't know Christian actually works in the proof of concept labs, John. He's one of those guys that really knows how to put that stuff together and make sure if a customer's going to do something.
He's the man, I believe, behind Test Drive, but also works with product enablement. So he's got reference architectures as well as, helps with some escalations. He wears many hats.
Yeah. And on that note, Test Drive. Christian, that's something that you did recently. Give me the 2-minute pitch on what Test Drive is, because I think that's a really exciting thing. And every time I tell a customer about that, they didn't know about it and they love it. So give me a quick explanation of Test Drive.
Test Drive allows you to go test and feel out vSAN, VROps. What does an SPBM look like, a RAID 1 versus RAID 5? You can do all that, touch it without the partner watching you. You just get an invite from the partner or from the VMware SC. That's it. You go log in. And it's yours for 7 days. Go back in and check it out.
But so is it like a nested software thing, or is it?
Actually, no. It's a real live running environment. It is read only, but you can change the VROps dashboards. You could do different things. Check it out. gives you a good understanding as far as what is it like to actually manage a vSAN cluster day in, day out.
Yep.
What is it going to look like?
Okay.
And the simplicity of just seeing that, oh my gosh, it's just network and disk and servers.
It's definitely a step above hands-on labs, which are nested, they're Imperial. They're, you know, there's a lot of limits on hands-on labs. This is an actual real running environment. There's some background load on.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to hit on hands-on labs, but I will say sometimes when you do that, it's a little slower than I would want.
Yes.
Fair enough?
We will leave it at that.
Christian's like, don't bite your tongue, Christian. It's fine. Anyway, Christian, you are not here alone today. You're joined by a gentleman by the name of Murray Oldfield from Inner Systems. So we want to welcome him to the podcast. Murray, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys. Long time listener, first time call.
Very nice. Very
thank
nice.
You, thank you.
How's your VMworld going so far?
It's fantastic. I love it. Yeah, this is my second one this year.
Oh, yeah?
It's true.
He's like a regular comedian. I like that. That's awesome.
That's good.
So, Murray, you work at Inner Systems. What exactly is Inner Systems?
Inner Systems is a data platform company or a database company that's been around for 40 years. We're like the Intel inside. You know, no one's ever heard of us. They've heard of the applications that are running on top of it, but you know, who knows who we are? I bet you 1% of your audience has any idea.
Yeah, that's John.
Yeah.
I was going to say, well, I know because my wife is an end customer. So she's a pediatrician, and the EMR that she runs, Epic at her hospital, actually runs Cache, their database behind it. So
that's where the history of the company is too. A lot in healthcare, you know, around the world we got 500 million patient records just sitting on our database. If you've been to hospital in the US, if you've ever had a blood test, your records are sitting on our database. You know, you don't know it, and this is what we do. This is our bread and butter. But we're also in financial services and space exploration. Anywhere where there's complex data, high performance, we're there.
Okay. So my little SQLite database with 1 gigabyte, not a use case. But
well,
if I'm doing high frequency trading, I need to give you guys a call.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, 15% of all the equity trades every day go through applications running on our database. That's the sort of business we're in. But we got little customers as well. You know, there's application partners who build stuff for just a doctor's office or an HMO that you have in the US.
Yeah, okay.
So it's a widespread, but unless you're doing it, you're not going to know who we are.
So. Yeah. And so I know you've been working with Christian pretty diligently for the past, how long has it been that you guys been working together?
3.5 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you hear the loathing in his voice?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Well, but it shows that, you know, when you work on doing application integration testing, which VMware has, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of applications have been verified. This is not necessarily always a quick or, you know, process. There's a lot of work that goes into validation and the support relationships and making sure that if, you know, you see issues at one layer, everyone talks to each other. These are the types of, you know, behind the scenes work that's got to be done.
And, you know, this is where it is just that you have to test, prove, and fail. We have to fail. You, in order to succeed in testing, you're going to have to fail some series of tests to know what your weaknesses are. We did that earlier on. We were able to solve some of them, hit some more later on. But it's a journey of doing something net new, especially with proven technology like Inner Systems, Iris, and Cache, where you can't, that's been around, you know, Iris data platforms are new version of their product. And it's one thing to say, hey, it's net new, but now we're going to put it on something else net new. See, you have to go through a whole series of tests for that.
So what exactly are you testing? You're testing it on vSAN?
Yes.
Okay.
So we just completed it. We've announced that it's supported. We're still working on reference architecture for that. But it's, so basically, Iris Data Platform is just that. It's a data platform that you can put whatever software, whether it be customized or something off the shelf, you can put that on and run at a very high performant level. Is it the fastest database in the world?
I'm sure it is, Christian.
Yeah.
Well, and the scalability of these deployments are, I mean, it's, you know, if I've got my little Microsoft SQL database, you know, it's, if I start getting above 10 terabytes, I feel like I have a big database. I mean, you guys would probably laugh at that scale, but it's.
But, you know, this is where the beauty comes in. It is scalable. You can start small, you can, and then you can just grow. And you know, that's where the sort of matches with things like hyperconverged as well. Their idea is scalability as well. Yep. So we want to see, you know, how far can we push it and where are the holes or where are the things that we have to do special things and go beyond, you know, best practice and maybe make some changes.
Yeah, I always hate that phrase, best practices. Yeah, like I want to throw things. I'm like, okay, we're going to have recommended practices. I'm like, do you have a terabyte of data or do you have a petabyte of data? Because there's probably going to be a knob we may want to look at turning by then. So it's
exactly.
So what made you think that HCI would be the right platform for your database?
So I've been around in IT for a long time, and you see stuff. I started in the late 70s, straight out of high school, and so I've seen things come and go and change. And I've been working with InterSystems since turn of the century, since around 2001, and so back in those days, deployments for hospitals and whatever, that they were on bare metal. And you know, with a storage array and so
sure,
on.
Sure, sure.
And then, you know, mid-2000s, we started to see virtualization come in. And so my job as an architect, we don't sell anything except our software. We don't sell infrastructure. So the danger always is the customer says, I bought this hardware. Do you think your application or our vendor's application is going to run on this?
And of course, and you tilt your head and go, it should.
Well, you go, well, it is an uncomfortable conversation sometimes because you go, no. but the salesman from the vendor X said it would.
And yeah.
Well, the vendor from vendor X doesn't know the application or our database. So my job was to be the bridge. So I saw virtualization come in. I saw us start to deploy our customers on that. And it just worked. And then, you know, in the last 3 or 4 years, every time a customer's doing a hardware refresh, you know, the vendors are now saying, here's this and here's that and here's the HCI solution. Here's vSAN. You're going from VMware? Well, have you looked at vSAN?
Yeah.
And is it appropriate? And so that's when we started working together to really understand. And you know, you talked about test drives. Well, I do a lot of benchmarking, which is my sort of test drive.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So we take an EMR application, the one we sell outside the US, TrackCare, and we use that as our application for benchmarking. And the idea for that is that we're using real application, real database activity, really testing the storage. And, you know, as Christian said, we found some stuff out together. And HCI is really simple until you put real stuff on it and your application may just work or maybe not.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and that's actually part of what, I mean, vSAN, we've been pushing 2 major releases a year, 2 minor releases typically. And part of what's driving those improvements are our customers, but also our applications partners who are pushing the limits.
Yeah.
And there's individual features or performance improvements that we can tie back to, you know, these types of testing.
So I'll just say this, that having 25 years in storage experience, all these things, all these applications, if they had issues, they were masked by the storage array or by great things like Fibre Channel. And they can mask those latencies, those oddities in the performance idiosyncrasies, if you will. And they were buffered by Fibre Channel primarily and high-end storage. But now what we've done is we've basically flipped the entire stack. And so by having that application write directly on those servers, they're going through perhaps a top-of-rack switch. That's
you've got a lot more visibility because there's not 4 vendors between me and my right getting completed. So.
Exactly. And so, but one other thing besides the healthcare testing, we did do a lot of shard testing, a lot of different net new testing, quite frankly, for InterSystems Iris, like a lot of big data testing. So sharding as far as slicing up the
sharding the databases,
like making it more palatable, more pliable to whatever application you actually want to create and run on it.
Okay.
So, and by that, so think of things like a TPCH test. So we did that type of testing, which is sort of net new for us. It's net new from our relationship, actually, from that perspective, because we had been focused on track care and EMR testing for that time. But this last go around with Iris, we are focused on financial markets, on different workloads, artificial intelligence, machine learning workloads. So we wanted to push at it and see what other kinds of workloads we could run with Iris and that might go on top of that entire stack. So,
well, I like that forward looking there, because when we first started doing all flash for, you know, traditional boring applications, we said, okay, this stuff is so fast, mission accomplished. We're done. And what happens every time we've solved some resource problem, some application vendor comes out with a way of, wait a minute, I look at my iPhone. This is, an operating system that was designed specifically for, thousands of IOPS. A lot of the applications, legacy apps that people use today were not designed for all flash, but these new ones that are, they're finding new ways to hit the limits and hit the walls. And, if we go through the journey of, infrastructure here and these various turnovers and pivots, as we go from one platform to the next, there are some new capabilities that we adopt, some new, walls we push. And I love particularly applications been out a long time because they have an interesting perspective on how to test and how to validate each platform. Because you guys, probably have been around for the transition from, anything serious runs on big iron AIX, RAR, exactly, to open systems. And, people who've been on their career a little shorter time may have, lived under, PAX, Intel, everything's open systems. But
how spoiled are we? 3 years ago, I was telling customers, if you can get a 10 millisecond response time on your reads, that's a pass.
Yeah.
I was beating Christian up because we were only getting half a millisecond you got every now and again, you just got to check yourself and go, hang on, do we need this?
Yeah.
Short answer is, in these cases, yes, we did, because these high frequency trading or whatever demand is super low stuff. But
Not everybody needs, like a zero RTO, zero RPO, but exactly. if there are some organizations that do.
The new use cases, but the other thing also to turn around and even look at some of the traditional, more boring, like the EMR use cases. What my wife or a nurse or a doctor, one of the other doctors will find acceptable for an EMR response time 10 years ago, and specifically in the U.S. prior to ACA being passed, of, well, I don't use the system that much, to every single order now has to be the EMR. So if it's taking 15 seconds instead of 3, that adds up. There's a huge payroll cost behind that. So
yeah, exactly. And so you have to architect the systems. EMR systems, some of the big hospitals have thousands of concurrent users, people pounding away on the system. And to get those sort of response times, the back end has to be performing. That's just the way it is.
And they have some interesting bursty flows. Like everyone at checkout in the afternoon where they're all doing handoffs, you've got these giant peaks that you've got to accommodate for.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're talking from the ecosystem level. One thing that I learned a lot working with Murray and InterSystems was that when you think about the touch of one patient's record just think about somebody coming through emergency, maybe they have to go and get an x-ray, be checked in. That patient record could be open and being touched by maybe 10 different clinicians.
Sure, absolutely.
And so... that's just crazy. So those right response times, you just kind of freak out. You're like, oh my gosh, okay, that's why you test.
When seconds matter, your record is minutes away. So, a story I have about my wife is a situation where previously, talking about expectations changing or changing depending on who you are. She's an infectious disease doctor, which they love pulling out all the old history. They want to know everything that's ever happened. And she was working in a hospital where they had said they had previously done a tiering and archival system. And they would move from the flash to really cold disks. And they came into an issue where they basically had to drive a change in their discussion, because anytime she would call up a record, their archive storage was so slow. And they're like, well, the SLA is bad, but, it's archive. Well, the problem is the infectious disease team, every time they click a record, they're having to wait 5 minutes.
That's ridiculous. Let me tell you.
They get rather angry about that. So it's the expectations. It used to be back in the day, you'd have to, if it went to the archive, it might be paper. They'd have take up a week. But we've gone from a week to 5 minutes, and they're still angry about 5 minutes. So it's, the expectations are moving forward.
Well, the other thing is, too, that everybody is now electronic. Was it the Obamacare?
ACA, Affordable Health Care Act in the U.S.
And so now, what happens when that stops? What happens when it doesn't take 5 minutes, it's just not on.
So my wife was one of the last residents who was trained how to do orders on paper. And so when they would have an outage back then, they used to have a lot more outages because no one dies. We know how to do stuff. I mean, maybe their handwriting might kill someone, but now no one knows what to do when the system goes down. So we've gone from, this is an inconvenience, but as long as it's after hours, who cares, to this thing can't ever go down.
That's right.
It's funny. That's an interesting segue, because then we're going to talk about big data. I have a personal angst of when people say, well, big data, I don't need vSAN. I don't want vSAN for my big data. It's too expensive. You're right. It's too expensive for you because you're not really doing anything with it. You're not making money on it. You're not saving lives on it. You know what you're doing?
You're just hoarding data. You're building a giant pile of hay.
You're just having fun in your lab. You know, I'll just say it. You
archive can everything.
It. You, no, you can bleep this. You're just f***ing off on those discs. So that said, I'll put it this way. You're ready for HCI when you are monetizing that big data, because quite frankly, you're going to rely on the HA features, the ability to be seamless with regards to the SBBM policies that we have.
Yeah.
That's where, honestly, people say, oh, well, it's the VTAX and all this other shit. Honestly, that you got to forget that, because now you don't have to pay 10 admins who are all open source people to do that. And so
operationalizing a bare metal Linux with a different storage configuration and having to figure out the HBA firmwares and pass through to do all this. It reminds me of like Exchange DAG. If you ever saw the reference architectures of, yeah, we're just going to pass through disk. No one's going to do RAID. And I'll give Microsoft credit. They spent a lot of time pushing that RA. I've seen it deployed once.
Dude, I helped them with that RA. Easy. Back off. Back off.
Them's fighting words.
No, it's most people end up, one, wanting resiliency at multiple layers, partly for, you know, just additional protection. But two, most people want to manage resiliency at one layer across their org. If in part of my application stack, I have resiliency handled by the developers or the application admins or a different layer, then you're going to have issues delivering on your SLAs. Yeah.
So, Murray, question for you. Two-part question, if you will. What about vSAN attracted you to try and use this with Inner Systems? And the second part is, what is missing that you think should be on the roadmap for vSAN?
Okay. Certainly the first one's easy to answer. I didn't have a choice. Yeah, the customers, like I said, every email I've had this week from a customer who's looking at a new architecture is saying, does it run on vSAN? You know, this way, and this is just the new normal.
Sure.
This is just the way things are. And so we're not prepared. So I spend a lot of time in our community blogging, telling people how to, was a lot virtualization stuff, how to recommendations for, you know, not just for our database, you know, really it could be applied to any business critical, you know, transactional database type stuff.
Sure.
And now I've gone down the path of doing the same with HCI. And we've come out with recommendations that they're not just recommendations. My job is to actually force the customer to talk. When they go and buy a VX rack, I want them to buy certain things that just have to be in there. I want it configured a certain way for our database. And other database vendors, I'm sure, must be doing the same thing. Otherwise, the customer, it's just not going to work. And that's the absolute worst thing that can happen. People spend $1 million getting something up, and then it, you know, go live day is just... You know,
that's not acceptable.
It's not. So I had to get ahead of the wave. I come from Australia. I live at the beach. I live in a place called Surfer's Paradise. So I had to surf that wave.
Nice. I like it.
Having spent some time in Australia earlier this year, they're way ahead of everybody else over here. You guys are always adopting things first.
Yeah, vSAN's big out there, actually.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that.
We actually have a couple large customers out there that I've done other POCs with. So that, yeah.
The second part of your question?
Yep.
That's a lot harder. You know, Christian calls me Wreck-It Ralph because inadvertently, as I've been doing my benchmarks, I'm always finding like, everything's going fantastically. We're about to sign off, and then at the last minute, something awful happens. But as we've been going through the iterations of vSAN, things like the recovery and resiliency features of vSAN have just got better with each release.
The recent fairness was a huge improvement. It's a subtle thing under the hood, but the new disk scheduler is amazing.
And that's what you have to think about when you're benchmarking. You can't just benchmark a well-set-up system going well. You have to look for stuff. You know, what happens when you take a node out? What happens you know, when a disk group fails over? So going down the track, you know, off the top of my head, to be perfectly honest, I just can't think of a one thing. Like, if only you had that, it would be perfect. It's just more building in the resiliency and the, you know, making sure it just works.
That's not a wrong answer. That's good.
No, what I was going to say, and I'll become a customer critic, it's because I work with Inner Systems and I work with another large partner of yours, Epic, and it's resiliency that we have to get in, that we have to just make it better. And that's really, honestly, so.
Well, the story there has been incredible over the releases, going from, okay, we can do some basic mirroring to nested fault domains and checksums and all these other things that have been added. And just the speed of resyncs being improved. It's something that every release has something that helps resiliency.
Well, and to kind of go with that, I'm going to get you a mission accomplished bomber jacket for each release we have, where we become more and more resilient. And I'm going to start off with magenta, and then, you know, perhaps fluorescent nuclear orange, you know, and just kind of go from there. Because I think that's what you need. You deserve that, John.
Yeah, he does.
You deserve that.
I could use some fun jackets, so that is.
I like it. Well, Christian, Murray, I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll be in touch. So take care.
Pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah, so that's Murray and Christian. That was a fun conversation. John, what'd you think about that?
Two things. One, I loved his response to, you know, why looking at vSAN and how it's, you know, it's not really his choice. It's where the customers are all going.
Yeah, that was great.
The other thing that I really like here is just seeing the trend for HCI in general here is it's like the old days of virtualization. You know, we started with the small workloads, humble beginnings, and we got to the big tier one production workloads on virtualization. And now we've made that similar run. And now we're getting into not just, you know, your regular tier one apps, but your really big monster, you know, the most powerful, highest scaling applications, the really extreme ones in the world now being certified and supported for vSAN. So it's just cool watching kind of that journey go full circle again, like it did with the early days of virtualization.
Oh yeah. As a matter of fact, I heard not too long ago that of the 15,000 vSAN customers out there, 60% of the workloads that are on vSAN are business critical apps, whether it's Oracle RAC, SQL, or even Cache.
Yep. Yep.
Awesome. So that was just a quick preview of Inner Systems on vSAN. Now, there's a great video out there on VMworld. I think it's videos.vmworld.com. I'll be sure to put a link on the show notes of the podcast. But the session number is HCI2501. And in that session, this is the two guys that you just heard, Christian and Murray, talking about using Inner System on vSAN, some of the cool work they've been doing. So be sure to take a listen to that as well. John, what else before we take off?
I was going to say, man, I need a nap. Before I get back to unpacking some boxes. So
good, man. Well, you take your nap, man. I am going to land this plane. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Christian Rauber and Murray Oldfield for joining us this week. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
Booyah!
Ah, you're the virtual speaking guy.
Sí. This is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm not worried about Christian using any four-letter words at all.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I'm going to be well-behaved.
Yeah. Enough of this jibber-jabber.